All right, Proverbs chapter number 16. So if you would, look down at verse number 27. Proverbs 16, 27 says, "And an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire." Now, the title of the sermon this evening is called Digging Up Dirt on People. Digging Up Dirt on People. And we're going to spend some time tonight just really breaking down this verse and some of the verses after so that we can understand what this type of person is and what this type of person is not, okay? I'm sure we've all done our own digging up on people before. This is becoming an all too common thing in today's day and age. It's very easy to go on social media and find people 5 years ago doing things that obviously we would all say aren't good, and then bringing those things to other people's attention. I've seen that numerous times in my life. I've seen it here in the past. And so it's just something that I obviously need to preach. Not because we have an issue with this today, but because, you know, it's something that is plaguing our society, okay? And it's definitely going to do us some good to understand these things. Now, what I want you to do is keep your place here in Proverbs chapter 16, but go to John chapter number 1. Go over to the New Testament, John chapter number 1. And we're going to come back and forth between Proverbs 16 and a few different areas this evening. But what I want to do first is I want to make sure and explain the difference between digging up evil or digging up dirt on someone versus shining light in darkness, okay? Because one of the things that we often get accused of, believe it or not, is this verse right here. People will say and email the church or message the church and say, "You're ungodly because you're digging up evil on all these people out here." And it's like, no, you're getting this backwards. We have a mandate, we have an obligation from the Lord to shine the light on to darkness. And so we want to understand the difference. We don't want to get these things confused. So let's do some review here. Look down at verse number 1 of John chapter number 1. And look at what verse 1 says. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So obviously we've talked extensively about this because it's very important. You cannot separate the Word of God from God. You cannot take Jesus and separate Him from truth, separate Him from the Bible. Verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse number 5, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." So you can see there, verse number 1, obviously, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. We are in Him. We are to take the Word of God and shine it in darkness. Now turn over, if you would, to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Nothing in the world wrong with doing that. We have the authority, we have the right to shine the light into darkness. John chapter number 3, look at verse number 19. So the Bible says this, and this is Jesus speaking here, and He says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Okay? Very simple to understand there. The world that we live in today, this is definitely the prevailing thing that you're seeing. Men love darkness so much that laws are being passed to protect those who are operating in the dark and to silence us and to remove us that have the light so that we can shine that light on their evil deeds. But look at verse 20. It says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." So the Bible tells you very clearly right here in John chapter number 3, verse 20, that people that operate in darkness, that are inherently evil, they're not going to come to the light. So therefore, it's our job to shine the Word of God, which is the light, on the things that they do. So we have the right to expose darkness in this world and to expose darkness that takes place in organizations and church. I mean, think about John the Baptist. Why was he beheaded? For this very reason, because he took the Word of God and shined it on a very dark situation, and it cost him his life, and he never got rebuked for it. He was the greatest man born among women. Look at verse number 21.
But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So the duty of the believer, the duty of the person that is in Christ, and the mindset that we should have is that we should always be willing to have our toes stepped on and be willing to move into the light to make sure that what we're doing and how we're operating is in accordance with the Word of God. Okay? Now go to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. All that to simply say, digging up evil is not the same thing as shining light into darkness. So while you're turning to Matthew chapter number 5, I'm going to read for you just four verses out of Proverbs 16, starting with the verse where we started, verse 27, which says this: An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Verse 28 says, A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Now, we'll come back to this at the end of the sermon, but a froward man is somebody who is contrary or opposed to wisdom, okay? A froward person is the opposite of a prudent person, which is somebody who's wise, somebody who looks well to their going. Now, verse number 29 says, A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into a way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Now, again, we're going to come back to these verses. But what I think is often helpful for us is if we understand the opposite of what we're trying to learn. So we're trying to learn about this ungodly person that digs up evil on other people. And I think the best way to do that is to see what the opposite of that, which is right here in Matthew chapter number 5, look down at verse number 9. So Sermon on the Mount, we went through this probably 7 months ago now, so definitely good to do a little tiny bit of review. Verse 9 says this, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. What he is not saying here is that if you're the type of person that's a peacemaker, you get to earn your way into heaven, okay? No, if you really study this out and you read the beginning of the chapter here, it's clear Jesus always taught salvation by faith alone. So that's not what this means here. He's simply saying that an attribute of God's people, one of the things that we are supposed to do is to be peacemakers. Okay? And one of the ways that we become peacemakers is by shining the light that we have from the Word of God into darkness. But what we don't do is dig up evil on other people. So what's a peacemaker? You might be saying, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, a peacemaker is exactly what it sounds. It's somebody who seeks peace, who wants to stop fights, stop arguments, somebody who's willing to put maybe their own emotions and how they feel aside just to better enable someone else to be able to go on about the way. And we've all seen this, right? You've been in an argument with people before, and you've had that urge to get that last word in there and to be like, no, but I'm right. You know, but is what you're talking about and arguing really worth fighting about? Is it really worth offending a brother or sister in Christ? And we often know the answer to that. And so a peacemaker is somebody who says, you know what, this relationship here is more important to me. It's more important to the kingdom of God. And it's more important to God himself than winning a simple, stupid argument of Ford versus Chevy or whatever the deal is. Which, yes, I have seen people just about come to blows over that in church settings, okay? So don't think that I'm just going off my rocker here. Go to James chapter number 4, and let's talk about this being a peacemaker for a minute. Where should we be peacemakers, okay? And how can you be a peacemaker if you're calling people out and this and that? And well, you'll see that here in a minute. James chapter number 4. And I'd like to get you to keep something here because we're going to come back to this neighborhood a couple more times this evening. But James chapter number 4, where should we be peacemakers? Let's take a look here. Verse 11, James 4 says this, Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So what this is telling us here is one of the first places that we need to make sure that we are peacemakers in is in the local church, amongst our fellow brethren, amongst Christians. And you might be saying, well, what do you mean I can't judge my brother? He's not saying that you can't edify somebody. He's not saying that you can't take someone aside and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. This is not okay. Right? We have the authority to do that. You can do that to somebody tactfully. But what he's saying is don't speak evil like, hey, so-and-so's doing X, Y, and Z and just spreading gossip about other people and things that hurt. Because that's what the word evil means in the Bible. It means to hurt. If you do a search on the word, you're going to see it comes up in the Bible well over 500 times. I think it's like 592, three, somewhere in that neighborhood. And of course, in the English language, you have got to make sure you pay attention to the context. Because, you know, when you start really doing your research on the word evil, you'll see that God calls the children of Israel evil because of how they were disobeying. But then you'll also see where it says that God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them. And, you know, not to for us to be confused here, evil simply means to hurt. Okay, and God has the authority and God has the righteous ability to hurt people that are wicked. Okay, or hurt people that hurt others, and he does that. And of course, when people repent and, you know, turn from their deeds, God will oftentimes, and you see this in the Bible, say, okay, well, now I'm going to change my course of action, and I'm not going to bring this evil upon you, which you deserve, because God is full of mercy. And that is what the Bible says. Look at verse number 12. It says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And we kind of really touched on this last week with the sermon of the prodigal son. Okay, and we talked about how, you know, there's nothing wrong with having high standards. And, you know, all of us have standards, but we get into trouble when we start really judging other people based off of our choices and our standards, okay? And we start imposing that and making ourselves look good. That's how you turn from being a prodigal son and you step over to the legalism side, which is very subtle, like I said, very difficult to escape. Leave your place there for now in James 4 and go back in your New Testament to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. So again, the opposite here of an ungodly man who digs up evil is going to be a peacemaker, okay? Somebody who is about peace, somebody who cares about the relationships, somebody who cares about others and esteems others better than themselves, which Paul also called having the mind of Christ, okay? 1 Timothy chapter number 4, look down at verse number 6. The Bible says this, if thou put, and remember Paul's talking to Timothy here, the elder Timothy, the pastor Timothy, he says in verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So again, Paul telling Timothy to put the brethren in remembrance of the Word of God, in remembrance of different doctrines and things. That's a godly thing. Even though sometimes that is going to hurt people's feelings, sometimes that is not going to come across very pleasantly, that is still okay because that is part of being a peacemaker, is having the desire and the heart to want to see people do better and to do right. And you might be thinking, what's a profane and old wise fable? No, wise fables and these tales are basically godless myths, okay? Yes, some of them have some truth, but by and large, what Paul's saying is these old sayings, you know, and I'll just give you a couple. There's one out there called, what is it? Feed a cold, starve a fever, okay? Things like that. You know, we're supposed to, and that's kind of a silly one. I'm not going to sit up here and just repeat profane, you know, wise fables. But the point is, what Paul is telling us here is that we ought to reject these types of fables, these types of things that didn't necessarily come from the Word of God. We want to get as much as we can from truth, from what the Bible says, and not just regurgitate these, you know, silly things that have been passed down, because it doesn't lead to godliness. It leads the other direction. It leads to ungodliness. So hopefully that is kind of making some sense there. Now go to Ephesians chapter number 5. So back in your Bibles, to Ephesians chapter number 5. So real quickly, just really want to give you two things this evening, two areas where obviously we should be peacemakers, and one is in the church, and the next one is going to be right here, found in verse 33 of Ephesians 5. Look what it says. Paul says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Okay, so what am I talking about here? The family. Okay, obviously we want to be peacemakers in the family. And that is not to say you shouldn't be a peacemaker at work or out in the community, you know, as much as possible, depending on the circumstances. But our loyalty is obviously to the Lord, to our families. These, first and foremost, is what we care about and what we want to take care of. Because to the world, we're almost never going to look like peacemakers. We're going to look like the exact opposite. If you don't believe me, come up to me after the service. I'll show you the inbox, okay? And you can have fun, but you got to be over 18 to look at it. So, back, if you would, go back to Proverbs chapter number 16. So I'd say people that work on relationships are called peacemakers. Okay, people that tear them down are called the ungodly. And that is what Proverbs chapter 16 is going to teach us. So let's start digging into this. What kind of man digs up evil? And what does it even mean to dig up evil? Okay, well, we already saw that it's not calling out false prophets. It's not shining the light, the word of God, onto dark situations. It's not any of that. Okay, so let's get into this here. Proverbs chapter 16, again, look at verse 27. "An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire." An example that I just thought of right now is from Numbers chapter 14, when the children of Israel brought back an evil report of the promised land. Remember, they were scared because of what they saw. Yeah, they saw that the land was good and plenteous, like the Lord had said, but they saw the people and they saw their stature and they saw their size and they feared for their lives. So they came back and said, "We're not able to conquer this land." And God says something to the effect of being upset with these people because they brought up evil. Okay, they brought up an evil report, and of course that set them back 40 years and even wound up killing a lot of people. Now again, obviously keep your place right here and go forward in the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 57. Isaiah chapter number 57. Let's start to learn here at what this ungodly man digs up and how he operates. Isaiah chapter number 57, look down at verse number 20. The Bible says this, Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20. It says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea." Okay? You ever want to know what wicked people are like? They're like the troubled sea. Okay? They're never at peace. They're never at rest. They're toxic. It's just like everything they say and do, there's just something wrong with everyone else but them. They're the only one on the boat that's trying to keep this thing going straight, that's keeping it going good. Okay, but the Bible says they are like the troubled sea, just up and down, tossed to and fro, back and forth. Look at the rest of the verse. "When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." Okay, so you say, great, what does that mean? That means an ungodly man, his actions are inherently to dig up dirt. That's what they do. Okay, they do this all the time. It is in everything they say or do. And it can be very subtle. They could come up to you and say, "Oh, yea, hath God said." They could come up to you and just tell you something that's maybe just not super good about another person. It doesn't even have to be very negative, but that's how they'll start. Just say something about someone else and then just keep talking about that person. And, you know, 6 months down the road, before you know it, you're in full-blown gossip, being completely lied to. Go a couple chapters to the right in your Bibles to chapter number 64. Isaiah chapter number 64. So we just saw that the wicked are like the troubled sea when it can't rest, and their waters cast up the mire and the dirt. This is what the wicked do. This is what an ungodly man who has set his sole purpose to dig up evil on other people. Look at verse number 6 of Isaiah chapter 64. "But we," and here's the problem with this, "but we are all as an unclean thing." And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Another word for filthy is dirty, and we all fit in this category. We all have done things that are not clean. Now, we're not all like into these horrible, you know, just crazy things. That's not what I'm saying. But if you really look hard at someone's life, there's going to be some dirt because we have the old man. We have the flesh. So what does that mean? That means, you know, if you really want to dig up dirt on somebody, you don't have to look that far because all of us make poor decisions and do things that just aren't good. And any one of those things that you and I do could be put on blast today and just made to be something that it really isn't. So what I want you to do now is leave your place there and go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. And of course, that leads us to the statement here. The thing about this ungodly man in Proverbs 16 is that he went purposely looking for evil. He went purposely looking to dig up something to hurt other people, to cast doubt on other people, to cast shame on other people. So he unburies, in essence, what has been buried. He uncovers what has been hidden. For example, if you have a conversation with another person, okay? Maybe you had a beef over Chevy versus Ford. This person may get that information and go blab it to other people and say, oh, did you know so-and-so have a beef? Did you know that they had a fight? It may seem innocent, it may seem kind of silly, but it's really no one else's business but those two people who had that beef, okay? So he exposes what should have been left unseen. And all of us have things like this in our lives. So here in 1 Peter chapter number 4, we're going to read verse 8, but I want to say this. There's a big difference between digging a hole for a foundation versus digging a hole for the foundation to fall into, okay? And obviously, we are the foundation. That's what the Bible says, that you're saved, you are in Christ, you are part of that foundation, you are part of what he is building. And so we need to be on guard and sometimes be careful of allowing other people to drag us in to the holes and traps that they're setting for us, okay? So here's what I want you to read. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8. It says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Obviously, a lot of people like to, you know, go back and forth. Well, charity means love, and yes, it is, it's part of that. But this charity here is stronger than that. It's not just a verbal, hey, I love the brethren, but it's actually showing that you love the brethren. It's showing work. It is love on display. And that's what Peter says that we should be like. It says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Because look, we've got the flesh. We have this old man, and it is so easy to focus on negative things and negative things that people have uncovered or what have you. But if you can get into the right mindset, this mindset that, hey, the mission is more important than myself. Preaching the word of God, shining the light into darkness is more important, and my brother is more important than what I have going on. Guess what? We're not going to get caught in these traps that these types of people may have set out for us. So you can leave your place there in 1 Peter and go over to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3. So what is this? An ungodly man diggeth up evil. Okay, we just looked at that. An ungodly person digs up things that could hurt people's reputations, hurt relationships, and I mean, the list really goes on. Okay, the Bible says after that, it says, and in his lips there is a burning fire. So this person really just loves and has this deep burning desire to speak evil about other people. And so what they constantly do is they go looking and searching and digging for anything that they think they can get. And what they do is that becomes just this burning desire to just blab out the mouth and to just say this stuff. And you're in James chapter 3, and you're going to see something here very powerful in regards to this about the tongue. Okay. So we see that this ungodly man, he does his destruction with his words. Okay, look at what James says. James chapter 3, verse number 5 says this. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Okay, I mean, how many wars, how many battles, how many marriages, how many relationships, organizations have been destroyed because of the tongue, because of things people have said that may or may not even be true, may not even be a big deal, things that were buried, things that were just gotten over. And yet someone comes along, brings that up, stirs the pot, and it's just, the next thing you know, there's just this blazing fire in your organization. Look at what the rest of the passage says here. It says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Okay. Now, again, I just like to say this because we're here. He's not saying that if you say the wrong thing, you're going to hell. Okay. Go see two weeks ago's sermon where I talked about James versus Paul. Okay. James clearly taught salvation by grace through faith. Okay. We know this. So what does this all mean here? What it's saying is that all of us have this issue with the tongue. Okay? All of us say and do things that could later come back and bite us or be dug up and just turned against us. And literally, I mean, the tongue's what starts it off. I mean, the tongue is what sets everything off. I mean, think about it. You know, before a person gets saved, you know, they have the choice. Are they going to get saved or are they not? When a person hears the word of God and maybe rejects it in their heart and says, you know what, this is it. I don't believe this. I believe this is false. I believe that there's many paths to God. Guess what he's doing? He's literally fulfilling verse number 6 here. And setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. How many people are in hell right now because of them saying the fact that they reject God? I mean, it starts with the tongue, with communication. And so James just wants us to be aware of how easy it is to go off at the mouth and to say things that are going to come back and bite us later on, okay? But applying this to the guy in Proverbs chapter 16, again, is going to help you see what his goal is. What drives that type of person? What motivates that type of person? And furthermore, what are they going to do? Okay, well, what do? They constantly dig information. Several years ago, I think this has definitely been 4 years ago now, we had somebody in a church. This was before we even moved in the building. And we had a new person come in, and there's a guy in the corner, you know, just scrolling on his phone. And he's like, oh, look at all this stuff I found about this guy 5 years ago doing this, you know, got a big wad of chew in his mouth. And it's like, put that away, man. This guy's first day in church. What are you, you know, it's like, what are you doing here? You're going to cause people to not want to come back. Okay. But that's what I'm talking about. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. And you know, he couldn't wait to blurt it out. In fact, I told him not to, and I found out several years later, found out like, I don't know, 8 months ago, that this dude actually did go tell that person all the stuff that he found, which upset me, but whatever. That was a long time ago. That's over with. Go back to Proverbs 16, and we're going to finish up right here in this passage. Proverbs 16, 27, one more time. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. Okay. Now, the next three verses literally apply to this ungodly man. And so let's kind of break some of these down real quick. Look at verse 28. It says, a froward man, and we talked about that. Okay, a froward person is somebody who is not wise. A fool, in other words. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. So what I want you to notice here is, who is this froward man? Well, first and foremost, he's ungodly. He's just the same person as the ungodly man in verse number 27. That's who he is, a froward man. Now look how he operates. Soweth strife. Notice that? And look at this. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. So notice how the guy in verse 27, the ungodly man, and the froward man in verse 28, notice how they both dig up dirt. And notice how they both use words to destroy their prey. Okay, look at verse number 29. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. Now, again, a violent man. Is this somebody who does boxing? Is this somebody who's a wrestler? Is this somebody who fights mixed martial arts? And the answer is no. This is somebody who violates other people. Obviously, there's ways you could violate people. You could do it physically. You can do it emotionally. You can violate people through your words. And what the Bible is telling us here is that this person, this ungodly man here, is a froward man. Verse 29, he is a violent man. And what does he do? He enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. So what these people do is they go and they look for the non-educated. They look for the person that is ignorant of what the Bible says, and they entice them to follow their words. That is what they do. And the Bible is letting us know that that is literally a violation of that other person. To know that you can manipulate somebody, okay? And you'll often see this. Oh, you won't see this, but you'll hear about this happening in organizations. You'll hear about this happening in churches where one person gets offended. Okay, they decide they're going to leave a church, and what do? They pick up that phone, and they got to tell everyone why. And here's why, because the pastor's kids are horrible, and because the pastor said this about you. And that person's like, oh, really? Well, I guess you must be correct. Okay? And they go wind up following that person. Okay, that person who was ignorant and just believed everything, yeah, that's wrong. But really the person who picked up that phone and started railing is a violent person. They are an unwise person. And the Bible says they are ungodly, the opposite of godly. And I keep emphasizing that because you'll see these people constantly say, hey, we're on the Lord's side. We're following what God wants because these people are just so wicked and I'm right and they're wrong. Okay, but look at verse number 30. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. And here it is again. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. What does this mean? He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things, meaning he is closed off to truth. Okay, this type of person, when he has his plan in order or they have their plans in order, they're not going to come to you and do a Matthew chapter 18 scenario. No. In fact, they're going to rally their troops and they are going to preach their false, railing lies and their evil, wicked plans. And again, this says very clearly, moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. So these are people that are again, toxic and extreme manipulators. Now, last place I'm going to have you turn for the evening is the next chapter over, Proverbs chapter number 17. Proverbs chapter number 17. And we're going to end it right here in verse number 9. Proverbs 17, verse 9 says this, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Okay, very, very wise for us to understand what this means and to end this thing right here. A person that covereth a transgression seeketh love. So again, you're not going to be able to hang out with somebody too long and not offend the other person. Okay, those of you who are married, we know this is the way it is, okay? But how does a marriage work? How does it last? Because both people have committed to covering these transgressions and these little things that bother us. We need to bring that same attitude that we're taught about in marriage inside of the church, okay? And we need to do this in a loving way so that we don't separate people that are friends, but rather we build these friendships up. And that, my friend, is how you drive the ungodly man that likes to dig up evil away from you, away from your church, and your organization, should you know somebody at your place of work that is like this. Because again, the wisdom in the Bible, there's no bounds to it. You can apply it everywhere. You can apply it at your work. You can apply it in your extended family. You can apply it, practically anywhere. Okay, which is just, again, a testimony to the infinite wisdom in the Bible. And one of the things I like to recommend anytime that we're in the book of Proverbs, and I don't consistently do this, but I do this every once in a while, is take a month and just every single day, make sure you read one proverb a day. Now, don't just speed read this, okay? Read this and really meditate on it. And if you really want enhancement on that, copy it down. Write the whole thing out. I did this a couple months ago, and I'm telling you, I get you sermons like this, get you all kinds of ideas, get you a lot of wisdom, and help you in your everyday life to be the successful Christian that God wants us to be that peacemaker that God's called us to be, okay? And again, we want to stay away from this verse 27 guy who was ungodly and wanting to just dig up evil on everyone. And again, remember the disclaimer here, okay? Digging up evil on people is completely different than shining the light of the Word of God in darkness. We have the authorization for that. That's okay. We're going to keep doing that. And we're going to stop right here. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again, for allowing us to be able to gather here. We just pray that you bless the fellowship after the service and the soul winning that's going on this week. And I just pray, Lord, that you bring us back safely this weekend. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.